Hello, everybody, and welcome to DeathSoulBroad.com comic book podcast. As always, these podcasts are brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today we are brought to you by ThinkGeek. Since 1999, ThinkGeek has grown from a fun side project started by a few computer geeks to a multi-million dollar e-commerce business catering to all things geek. It has everything you need, from gadgets to apparel to computer accessories to balls. And who doesn't love a nice, cool balls?
I like nice, cool balls. I mean, I've got a whole case of balls in my kitchen. Balls are going to get me through Anime North.
Yeah, you crack over a nice thing of balls, just chug that down. Balls are very good.
Brown balls. But they also come in the blue and the red variety.
Well, blue balls are pretty painful. Red balls, you probably see a doctor, but black balls, they got you good.
Brown balls.
Okay, sorry. Brown balls. Brown balls. Balls. So click the link at the bottom of the page or any of the banners of the site and go check out some of the awesome stuff available at ThinkGeek. ThinkGeek, stuff for the smart masses.
Balls!
While we don't have any of the awesome stuff ThinkGeek does, we do have some other stuff that is kind of awesome in its own right. So head over to deathstoreprods.com/store and check out some of our stuff. We have switched back over to our old store, so we have old prices, which means cheaper stuff, so you'll be able to change the color of the shirt without having to pay an extra $3.
Now, there's still some stuff I have to re-add, and I will get around to it eventually. I'm just, you know, in Anime North mode right now.
Yeah. We're busy. I'm busy procrastinating. He's busy doing stuff. Punchatron is being him. But anyway, yeah, we'll get around to that eventually. So anyway, yeah. So, DeathSoulProducts.com/store. Like I said, we're back to world stuff. We're going to be getting stuff updated with that. But we, as always, we are still looking for new art and design idea stuff. So if you have an idea for a design or some art you think we would like, please don't hesitate to send it to bovion@deathstoreprods.com or post them in the t-shirt design thread on the forums. If we like it, we'll put it on some products, and then if it's art, we'll be able to pay you based on how well the products sell. If it's a design idea, we'd love to hear from you, but unfortunately we won't be able to pay you based on how well we'll be able to pay you. But if you have art, we will be able to pay you. So again, that is bovion@deathstoreprods.com or post them in the t-shirt design thread on the forums. And once again, Death Store Prods is doing Extra Life this year. For those who don't know, Extra Life is an annual charity that this year will be running on November 2nd, Saturday, from 8 a.m. to 8 a.m., or whenever you guys can do it, if you can't do it on that day. And it is a 24-hour gaming marathon to raise money for Children's Miracle Network hospitals in our area. This year, we're supporting the Sick Kids Foundation in Toronto. And we need your guys' support. So please go to deathstoreprods.com/extra-life. That's deathstoreprods.com/extra-life. There's a big link at the bottom of the page. And please, either donate or join the team and help us fundraise. All donations that are given are tax deductible, and every penny you donate goes directly to the hospitals that we're supporting. And yeah, our goal is to raise, I think, $1,000 this year.
I think that's the goal. We nearly made that one last year, so hopefully this year we'll get just that little extra push and actually make 1,000.
Yeah, so please, head over to the page, join the team, or donate. Anything you guys can do helps, and it'll all go toward a really great cause. So please, deathstoreprods.com/extra-life. Do your part. Help kids live to waste more time video gaming. Woo! Or possibly reading comic books. Who knows? There's a lot of crossover in the gaming and comic sections. But anyway, I'm your host, The Dead Man. Joe, today, as always, we have Bovion.
Hello.
I saw a guy with a mullet today. It's a good day.
Only in your town.
Yeah, I know. But mullets are a very rare occurrence. So when you see one, it's kind of like seeing a unicorn.
Trash unicorn.
Oh, yeah, just... The horns actually made of like breadsticks that they stole from Olive Garden. Yeah. Endless breadsticks. You gotta do something with them.
I will eat them all.
But it's endless. You never stop eating.
I will eat until the kitchen cannot make any more breadsticks. I will order something and have them make that to go and eat nothing but the breadsticks. That is the most efficient way to go to Olive Garden.
Just like, I'll have like a salad, but can you like doggy bag that for me? Or just give me all the bread.
Just keep making breadsticks, man. You're going to run out real quick.
Yeah, just start stealing them from other people's tables. What the fuck are we talking about? Comic books, motherfucker. So, above you, what have you been reading?
Unfortunately, I only really have one thing this week, because, like I said, I'm in anime north mode, but, and I have some physical comics, I don't know where I put them, so I'll get around to reading those at some point, probably by the next podcast, but I did read one of them, and what I read was the Free Comic Book Day Walking Dead special.
Yeah, I haven't checked out any of the Free Comic Book Day stuff for this year.
The Walking Dead special's pretty good. It's basically a backstory slash stuff you don't see in the comics thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes over backstories for Michonne, Tyrese, the governor, and it shows us that one guy whose name I never remember. He's the dude that Rick first meets when he gets out of the hospital.
Morgan
and his son having Christmas.
Oh. Well, that must be nice. Look, son, I got you a head that wasn't totally decomposed.
Actually, he gets him a Game Boy.
Like a classic, like an old-fashioned, like, fucking black and white Game Boy?
Yep. And he's thrilled, because, like, even if the batteries are limited and he can't get any more, because that's discussed, it's a fucking Game Boy, man.
Yeah, it's like, oh boy, what games did I get? Oh, I got you the Smash cartridge of Pokemon Blue. Awesome!
Having a Pokemon game would actually kind of suck, because they save your team by using battery life in the cartridge. That battery does eventually run out.
Having a Pokemon game would suck because it's Pokemon.
Shut up, man! Pokemon's awesome!
So yeah, that was Walking Dead special then.
Okay, I enjoy Michonne's backstory.
Okay, what is it?
Particularly. It's pretty much what you'd expect. So, it shows her, you know, being all lawyer.
Yeah. She is lawyering people.
Anyway, she's running from zombies. She gets back to her place. Finds out that... and we meet her boyfriend and her boyfriend's idiot friend.
Of course he's an idiot friend.
An idiot friend has been bitten, but they don't realize that bites turn you into zombies.
Okay.
Which, I swear, people in zombie apocalypse stories never know shit all about zombies.
They really
don't.
They
have to figure it out. Where's the guy who fucking knows about zombies? You know what? In today's society, if there's a zombie apocalypse, everyone knows to go for the head. Everyone knows that the bites change you. There's no, like... Oh, there's only a few people who know about this shit. Everybody knows how zombies work now.
Yeah, we have been flooded with so much zombie literature, film, comics, games. Put in literally any situation with any like combination of tools. We could probably find a way to end the zombie apocalypse in like a day.
Yeah, I mean, there wouldn't be a very big zombie apocalypse because so many people would know. Oh, that's a zombie. Shoot it in the head. Bam. Don't let it bite you. Oh, you're bitten. Bam.
Yeah, it'd
done.
Be like one
zombie apocalypse ends.
You'd be like, oh my god, the zombie... Oh my god, like, the dead are rising from the grave. And in other news, zombie apocalypse has been ended. It'd be over in, like, 7 seconds.
Pretty much, just because... Like, I'm not going to say that nobody would die, because there would be a good number of people who know how to kill a zombie, but wouldn't be able to do it. Like all those people you see who are terrible shots, and that actually happens. Most people are a terrible shot.
Yeah, or there are those people who, like, still see the zombies as their loved ones, so can't pull the trigger.
Yeah, fuck that. You're a zombie, you're a zombie.
Yeah, but people are stupid, remember?
I have zombified versions of my family that I put up on a rifle range and shoot. No, I don't, but... if I had the resources to do that, I might do it. Just so that I'm ready, you know?
I just keep bringing my family back as zombies. You know, practice. I have hell of knives. I need to know how to use them.
Anyways, so yeah. It goes to her going next door to find supplies, and the only thing she finds is the kid next door who collects swords. And she finds her sword there. And then she finds out that the idiot friend turned and bit her boyfriend, and they're both zombies, and so she amputates their arms, cuts out their jaws, and uses them for protection. And that's where the zombies come from.
I thought it was her dad and her brother. Not her boyfriend and his jackass friend.
Well, you know what? They changed it.
Oh, great. Retconning the storyline. Thanks for Comic Book Day.
Actually, no, I'm pretty sure one of them was supposed to be her boyfriend. I'm not sure if the other one was supposed to be her brother, but...
It was either, like, her boyfriend and her dad, or her boyfriend and her brother. I can't remember which. I'm almost positive one of them is a family member. But for the life of me, I cannot remember which one. I can't remember who.
Anyways, the Governor's was kind of disappointing. All it is it's him setting up his fish tanks.
Yeah, of course.
I think there's the heads in them.
I think they actually did release a governor special story like a while back, like an actual full on retail one, not a Comic Book Day one.
Oh, well, I might read that one, but the one thing I didn't like is they decided to give him the reason for having the fish tanks, which in the comic it seemed like his only reason was for entertainment value, that he was a fucked up individual. But in this, he gives the same reason he gives in the show. I want to steel myself against the zombie apocalypse. I want to be able to look at horrors and be fine with it.
No, you're not a good person.
Because he has a guy help move in the fish tanks, and he's like, I'm going to cut off your head and put it in the tank.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've already established the governor's not a good person right now. He doesn't need to do this shit. So just keep him as a terrible person, please. I know maybe you want to make your character decisions in the show with the governor more justified. Don't. They're two separate characters. Leave them separate, please.
Yeah, and I just looked it up, and it actually is her boyfriend and his best friend.
Oh.
I don't know where I got her brother and dad from.
I thought brother too before I read that, and I just decided, I'm like, oh, I've probably had bad memory.
Yeah, I figured, you know, that would be way more tragic. Like, that's their only family, and so she has to, like, cut off their arms and jaws and, like, walk around with them unchanged while they're rotting away. That'd be way more tragic than her boyfriend and this jackass. Anywho.
Anyways, yeah. So yeah, the governor's a bit disappointing. Tyrese is good.
Yeah, he was a football player, wasn't he?
It doesn't even get into that. It's already during the apocalypse for all of them.
Oh, it's just you're jumping right in.
Yeah. So
like most zombie apocalypse stories, they never actually show you how the zombie apocalypse happens. It's just, oh, hey, it happened.
Read the Left 4 Dead comic. Anyways, yeah. So yeah, Tyrese, he goes out to get a gun because someone told him where there was a gun, and he gets it, and he wastes all the ammo because he's a fucking terrible shot, and that's where he finds his lucky hammer.
Yep.
And he beats his way through a horde of zombies with him, gets back, and it's like, I didn't get the gun, but I got this hammer, so this is a successful trip. We have hammers here. Yes, but this one's special. It saved my life.
Any of these hammers could have done that too. You just were too stupid to take one with you.
But as soon as he picks it up, it's almost like Thor picking up Mjolnir. He's just like, this hammer just feels right.
Everyone else starts to pick up the hammer. It's like weighs 1,000 pounds, but her hammer is like light as a feather.
God, if you could wield Mjolnir, it'd be an awesome zombie apocalypse weapon.
Oh yeah, just fucking summon down the rapture of the gods. They just walk through the charred corpses.
Also, consider swinging a feather light weapon would be awesome, because there's no feather light weapon that's going to be nearly as effective as anything that weighs a bunch, and it has such a huge impact. It would just knock their heads clean off.
Yeah, just get them all in a row, and then just like fucking see how many you can knock off in one swing.
You could throw the fucking thing.
Yeah, it all would come back. It's fucking great. Anyway.
And then, yeah, there's just, you know, Morgan having Christmas.
Yeah.
So that's all there is to that. but yeah, overall, some interesting insights into their past. None of them tell you a lot. In fact, half of them are focused on, this is how I got this weapon.
So it's not even really like any kind of origin story. It's just, hey, how did I get this gun? Or how did I get this hammer? Or how did I get this sword? Or how did I get this eye patch?
But with...
Or how did I get this Game Boy?
The reason I think Michonne's was the most effective was because it does show her as something other than the badass.
She's a person.
You do sort of... You see the change happening. So you're going from, I'm a lawyer, I'm not really prepared for the zombie apocalypse, okay, I can kind of use this sword, to, I'm bringing these zombies with me.
Yes.
So you at least get the feeling that a lot happens between that and the prison, and so she develops into this heartless, well, not heartless, but you know
she
what I mean.
She develops into Michonne.
Yeah.
Which, that's nice.
Shows us before.
That's nice. Like, with a lot of these stories... like a lot of stories that I've seen, there's always been like the thing of just, oh, hey, this situation happens, and then they immediately switch. There's not exactly a lot of like development into that or seeing like a completely different person beforehand.
Now, they were clearly trying to accomplish the same thing with the governor, but it fell flat on its own face.
No,
like we're trying to show that the governor wasn't always bad, but he's being terrible.
Yeah, like the governor story should have been like, it shows him like a bit before the outbreak happens, and he's, you know, like being, and he's like being a relatively normal guy. But then the outbreak happens, you just see him start cutting loose. You just see him like more and more like start turning into just the governor, and not just, oh hey, I'm actually a good person, but I'm just doing all this horrible stuff because, you know, I want to be able to. Like the governor for me has always been, I've always seen that as the idea of, he was like barely contained insanity and like this horrible person before the apocalypse happened. And then once it happened, it gave him a chance to actually just be that person all the time.
Yeah, he's basically, in my mind, at least what they tried to portray earlier in the comics, is that he was always fucked up. He just, you know, yeah, he reined it in. He kept himself under control. He kept up appearances. But then now this is zombie apocalypse. No one gives a fuck, so I'm going to stop keeping up appearances.
Yeah. Yeah, and
you know, he doesn't try to lie to the people in his town about why he's doing the shit he does. No, they just follow him because.
Yeah, it's like, this guy will probably kill me if I don't follow him, so go governor. And that's all we needed. You know, if you want, like, the idea behind almost every zombie story eventually turns into, the zombies aren't the real monster, man is. So trying
and
to
I
make,
must say, The Walking Dead is amazing at that one.
Yeah, it is great. But trying to make your monster into anything other than a monster, while it is admirable, just don't. Like, the governor was a monster. That's totally fine. That is what he was. That is what he was. That is what you set him up to be. That is everything we've seen him do to become that. That is what he was. But then you just retroactively go back and say, oh, no, wait, he's actually a good guy just trying to make the best of a bad situation. No, fuck you.
Now, Negan's a bit of a different story. Like, he's clearly, once again, fucked up before, but it's different.
Yeah, he's a different kind of monster. Which is why, like, seeing him being, you know, a decent guy in his own town.
Yeah, and decent in his own way is the important thing.
Yeah, comparatively decent. You know, like, in his town, like, if you fuck up, he will, like, burn your face. But if you don't, he'll just be like, hey, man, what's up? How's it going? You want some coffee? Great. Let's go coffee. He's, you know, a nice guy.
Let's play
until
some
you
fucking
fuck up.
Ping pong.
Fuck yeah. But yes, if they had hot dogs, he'd have a hot dog eating competition. I don't know why I said that.
I mean, very rarely are we any more told what people were before the apocalypse, but Negan, I kind of see as, you know, he was probably a businessman.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Where's the governor? I can't guess.
It'd probably be some, like, really remedial job that, like, no one cares about. It's like, oh, hey, I'm an accountant. Or like, oh, hey, I work the gas station. Just some, like, really bullshit job that was just, like, trying to, just, like, surround him with, like, the worst of humanity, you know, consumers. So that would, like, build up his insanity and just be able to just get him, you know, to the point where he'd just be like, you know what? Fuck everyone. I'm going to take over. You know, people suck. And then he just starts doing all the horrible things to them. I could see the governor working at like a bait and bass shop. Okay. Is there anything else?
No, that's all.
Okay, so then on to me. So let's start out with my first pick, Batman and Robin, number 20. So, for those who don't know, Robin died recently. And so, in the Batman comics, there all the different writers have been doing Requiem issues, basically showing how Batman and the rest of the Bat family deal with the loss of Robin. Because despite the fact that he started out as an annoying little bitch, Damian Wayne really turned into a fantastic character who I fucking loved. And he had an impact on all the members of the Bat family. Now that he's dead, we have to move on and show how people are dealing with them. And for the most part, a lot of the issues have been doing really well. Like Batman, it's been showing him, you know, trying to move on, like trying to keep up appearances, keep being Batman, but he's still really heartbroken inside. Then there's like Nightwing, who is actually kind of losing himself in his grief. Then we have in the Detective Comics, where Harper Row is there and she's being, you know, awesome and stuff. And like she actually hacked into the city power grid in order to have all the lights in one building turn into a giant R for Batman. And it was awesome. In the Dark Knight, they've been doing nothing.
Oh. Because they're in the middle of waste.
Because they're in the middle of their Mad Hatter arc, I guess. And in Batman and Robin, it has been the worst so far. Because you see, in Batman and Robin, Batman has gone off the deep end. Like, remember Batman and Robin issue 19 that I talked about where he brought Frankenstein to a castle, knocked him out, and then ripped him apart to see how the science worked in him to bring his son back to life.
Yes.
In this one, what he does is he takes Jason Todd, who was a character who they've, like, Batman and Jason Todd have always had a complicated relationship. But in the because of recent events, the two of them have, you know, started to get closer together again because, you know, those two, like it or not, Batman's been like kind of the only father Jason Todd's ever really had. Like he had that other father, but that guy was a jackass that spent most of his time in prison or hitting on women. But with Batman, you know, he was actually there. He was actually, you know, caring and stuff. Like they actually show a memory that Jason Todd had of Batman and Robin of like the olden days when Batman actually took a night off from crime fighting, just hang out with Jason, you know, just watch TV and shit, which was really fucking awesome. But then what happens in this one is Batman takes Jason Todd back to the factory where he died.
Huh.
Then beats
Why?
The because, you see, Jason Todd came back from the dead. So Batman figured, hey, let's go back to the place where you died. How did you come back from the dead? I want to bring back my son. And Batman at no point showed any actual like care or any kind of emotion toward Jason. It was all just, tell me how you came back or I'll fucking beat you up. And actually abandoned him in the middle of the desert. And I did not like this. At all.
I can see why.
Like, the Frankenstein stuff, it was a bit much, but okay. Like, that makes some sense because, you know, Frankenstein is a well-known person within, like, this whole world. It is known that he's been brought back to life by certain means, and Batman figured out, hey, you don't tell me what I want to know? I'll just cut it out of you, because, you know, you can't die. But with Jason, Jason was, for all intents and purposes, Batman's son for a good number of years. And so he had just lost a son. So losing your son and then taking your other son back to the place where you lost him, then beating him up.
It's cold even for Batman. Like,
yeah.
Unless they're going to do the stupidest story arc ever and turn Batman into a villain, they shouldn't go there.
No, like everything else, like every other story, has been doing a fantastic job. Like even when Batman, you know, injected himself with the bat, with the man bat serum and jumped into the giant robo suit, that was awesome and it made some sense. Because, you know, Batman, he's, you know, stricken with grief. He has this thing here. It's like, I just need, like, the man bats were one of the reasons that my son died. So, you know what? Fuck it. I'll go after his mom like this. And he only injected himself with some of it. He only partially turned into a man bat. So, you know, he still kept his reason there. But with this, it's just, hey, son, you son who died, tell me you came back. Now I'll kick you in the nuts. And it also, another thing that's weird with these stories, I am almost positive that within like the Batman universe, it's known that Damian Wayne is dead. I thought this was like established fact. I might be wrong about this. But so in Batman and Robin, before he runs off with Jason Todd to go off and like do horrible, stupid shit with him, Carrie Kelly, the Robin from The Dark Knight Returns, who it turns out was actually tutoring Damian, shows up and like returns a check to Bruce because Bruce still owed Carrie Kelly some money from Damian Wayne's tutoring. So she comes back, like throws a check back at him. It's like, hey, like I want to see Damian. Where the fuck is he? And he just says he's studying abroad. That's it.
Like, really, Bruce Wayne can't bring himself to tell somebody that Damian's dead?
Yeah. No, it's not that he can't bring himself to do it. It's that he has to maintain some kind of cover story, I guess. Which,
so he's got to have Damian die at a different time than Robin?
I guess.
To avoid suspicion, which actually kind of makes sense.
Yeah, kind of, but Batman's never done that. Like, back in, like, pre-52, when Batman died, they all said, oh, hey, by the way, Bruce Wayne's dead, too. But it turns out he wasn't dead. He was time traveling. By the way, read The Return of Bruce Wayne. It's fucking awesome. Batman's a pirate. And a witch hunter in the Salem Witch Trials.
Wow.
And Bat Caveman. He somehow makes a giant realistic bat head to wear as a mask. And then he becomes a detective trying to solve his own parents' murder. It's fucking awesome. Grant Morrison is my dog. He is my god right now. But anyway, yeah, Batman and Robin, it's shit. It is showing Batman handling Damian's death in the worst possible way. And compared to every other story showing how Batman's handling fucking Damian's death, it is terrible. Like, compare Batman beating the fuck out of Jason Todd where he died to Batman crying while embracing Bat-Cow. It's no comparison. By the way, I'm not actually kidding. There's a character called Bat-Cow.
There's a character called Bat-Cow.
Yeah, in the first Batman Incorporated issue, when they are fighting an assassin trying to kill Damian, a cow kicks the assassin in the head, and then Damian adopts the cow and names him Bat-Cow, and he stays in the Batcave, just hanging out, doing cow stuff in the Batcave. Fucking Bat-Cow!
Fucking Bat-Cow!
Fucking Bat-Cow! Anyway, moving on from fucking Bat-Cow. Pokemon, what's your first pick?
It was, hold on a second. I got it. Bloodhound.
Bloodhound. So, this is not as awesome as the title would lead you to believe. This is a detective story about murder and stuff, and they use a criminal to try to help them find a murderer.
Because that hasn't been done before.
Yeah, but this guy's like fat, but this guy's like muscular fat. You know how like some people who are like really muscular have like the belly to them?
Mm-hmm.
It's that. It is one of those guys. But he has long white hair and a scar across his face, so he's differential. So because, you know, he's the guy that has white hair and a scar on his face. You know, like unlike all those other guys who only have a scar on their face or only have white hair. But yeah, it was just kind of boring. I don't even remember what the fuck the story was about. It was like this guy whose name I can't remember. I think he's like a professor or something who was in jail, and then he's either a professor or like an FBI agent, and then other FBI agents, including like his partner, I think, and his partner's new partner, show up and say, "Hey, we're trying to hunt a murderer. He's doing stuff like you. How do we do it?" And then a prison break happens, and the guy's like, "Oh no, fuck this! I'm not doing that." And then a prison riot happens, and like a bunch of prisoners break out. They try to kill the FBI, and the guy beats them all up. He's like, "Okay, I'll do it." And yeah, it's very boring, very by the numbers. Even the art style is really generic. It's not bad.
I'm so glad I asked about this one.
Oh yeah, it's fucking adventure every second. You can pick another one if you want. But anyway, moving on to my next pick. Alpha Big Time Issue 4. So, do you remember back a while when Alpha was introduced to how much I hated him?
Yeah.
I kind of love him now. Because,
okay.
Because with Alpha Big Time, the writer has done a very good job of having Alpha learn from his past mistakes and have any mistakes he made come back to bite him in the ass. He actually learns that there is consequences to his actions. Like, in this issue, in the series, what's happened so far is Alpha got his powers back thanks to Dr. Spider-Puss. But he only got, like, back a tenth of his power. And then he went out, he put on a mask, he put on the mask in the same way that Green Lantern from the movie put on a mask. It in no way hides your actual face. Your hair, which no one else has in this entire goddamn town, you still have it. You still sound the same. You still look the same. You still act the same. But it just, you have a small blue thing covering your eyes. Basically every superhero ever, basically, actually. Think about it.
A good chunk of them.
Yeah, like every other superhero.
I'm going to hide my identity with this mask that doesn't hide my identity.
But the great thing is, people call him on it. Like, he shows up, it's like, "Hey, I'm here to help." It's like, aren't you that alpha asshole? It's like, "No, I'm a beta." Yes. It's like, whatever, fuck, I don't care. Do something about fire. And then, he doesn't understand, the full breadth of his power, so he actually almost, melts someone's head. But he manages to get to the hospital in time, so to say. But the energy that he used to do that mutates them into some weird, horrible monster that absorbs energy. And then so he has to deal with that.
Kevin Levin?
A little bit. Only less emo.
Did Alpha accidentally create Kevin Levin?
Kind of. Only a little bit less emo. Yeah, and so, and it's like he's been going around trying to figure out who's been starting the fires, and the people who start the fires find out about this, and they know that he's Alpha because Alpha was a known quantity. He was like, "Hi, I'm Andy McGuire, Alpha, and I support this stupid bullshit product." Back when he, back when he had his full powers, and so they realize, "Oh, hey, this is the guy who's stopping it. Let's torch his house with his family still inside." So they do, and it's awesome. Not because, grandma burning, but because it is showing that Alpha is a known quantity in this world. He is a known person, and people are taking advantage of that. And anything that Alpha's doing is having consequences on him. It is Like, he, like, the people he loves are in danger, and he doesn't know, and he, like, may not be able to save them. And it's really cool. It's really great, and it's showing Alpha actually evolving as a person and as a character, and not just being the same one-note asshole for a fucking eternity.
Well, to evolve a superhero character, you generally have to put them through some shit.
Yeah, there's actually a really
happening.
There's actually a really fantastic scene early on where Alpha meets up with Thor. Like, Alpha is fighting a guy who has, like, a giant hammer that he made with science. And then Thor shows up and says, "You shouldn't steal other people's style." And then fucking lightnings him. And then Alpha and Thor have a little talk to each other. Where he said, or, like, Thor saying, like, "You know, I used to be a lot like you. But then, you know, I grew up, I realized that, you know, certain things had to be done. And, like, superhero stuff." And he said, like, "When I was younger, I only cared about the adventure, the meat, and the women. But they, you know, he grew up and stuff." And then I was like, "And about the meat and the women, those come eventually." And then he flies off. And it was awesome. This book has done a really fantastic job of making me actually like Alpha. Which was not an easy feat to accomplish.
No, I remember you quite hating Alpha.
I hated him. He was one of the worst possible characters I've ever seen in my life. And then they fucking flipped him. And he's awesome now. And I really like him. But yeah, if you aren't reading Alpha Big Time, you really should. It is a really great thing. It actually makes the character interesting. And he's actually, you know, not just a whiny little asshole. And he is a person, and he's awesome. And read fucking Alpha Big Time, please. But just... The one major criticism I will put against this issue, against the series, is the art is not done by Humberto Ramos. He does every cover, but not the interiors. The interiors are done by someone else. I can't remember who, but the art inside isn't bad. Like, it's good art, like for what the story is, but it's not as good as Humberto Ramos. Ramos is, like, one of my favorite artists ever. And just... opening the issue with his art and then getting some other guy is...
Yeah, I don't like mismatch cover to the interior.
It's... Like, when I first read it, I remember just really not liking the, art in it. But then, you know, as I read it, it started, like, growing on me. Okay, so the guy who does the art for the interiors is, Nuno Plotti, who has actually done work for, you know, the main Spider-Man book, as well as some other stuff, but yeah, he also did Last of the Greats. Well, one issue of Last of the Greats. But yeah, he's not a bad artist. He's just, in my opinion, not as good as Ramos. So yeah, this is what I'm reading then, unless Bobby, you want me to talk about something. Oh wait, yeah, one more thing. Bobby, you have one more pick. I forgot about that. Sorry.
Yeah, I picked, hang on, I think I might be going the wrong way on this list, because of course I was an idiot and scrolled right fucking past it. I think it's The End Times with Bram and Ben.
Yeah, so The End Times with Bram and Ben is over. And it was awesome. So, previously on The End Times with Bram and Ben, Bram and Ben found out who the Antichrists were. And it turns out they were Penn and Teller. And then Penn and Teller killed Bram. And so Ben's left alive. And then we learn why Penn and Teller was so pissed off at Bram for what he did. You see, these two guys have been, you know, waiting for this thing to happen, you know, for centuries, for millennia. They've been building things up, like doing a whole bunch of stuff. And then Bram shows up and says, "Hey, I'm the Antichrist, vote for me." And that really pissed them off because, you know, they've been doing so much time of just trying to build up, you know, the idea, just trying to, like, turn humanity toward, like, hell, I guess, and all this other stuff. And they've been keeping it a secret for so long. But then Bram shows up and says, "Hey, guess what? Heaven and hell exist and everything. Vote for me." And then they got so fucking pissed off about it. Like, there's even a scene where, like, Penn, he, like, bursts into flames, screaming so loud he had to do fucking Dancing in the Stars. Because he did, I guess.
Well, I guess when all of your work gets, you know, kind of spoiled like that, it would suck.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway. These two guys, they're just like, So these two guys are like talking stuff, and then the angels show up. And it turns out that heaven and hell are on the same side. They actually are both have the same goal for the, like, the apocalypse. And like Armageddon for them is like a game of who can get the most souls. Because see, in the world of Bram and Ben, every single, like, your afterlife depends entirely on your beliefs. So, like, if you are a Buddhist, you will go to the Buddha heaven. If you're, like, Zoroastrianism, you do that. If you're fucking, if you are a fucking, what is it, a Scientologist, your spirit will go to Venus and then get sent back, and then get sent back into, the like, the ocean off the coast of California. I'm not even fucking kidding. That's what the, that's what Scientologists believe.
Fucking Scientologists.
Yeah, I, and I'm, like, you might think I'm making fun of them. I'm not. That is actually what they believe. When you die, your soul, which is actually like a, an imprisoned ancient alien, goes to Venus, where the Venusians then mind wipe it so it thinks it's an entirely new soul, then shoot you in a rocket into the ocean off the coast of California, where you then fly around looking for either a maternity ward or a pregnant woman to then inhabit the body of their baby. I'm not fucking kidding. So yeah, it turns out all that, like every single religion is actually right. Your entire afterlife is based on your personal beliefs. And so the angels and the demons, they've basically just been like, as the apocalypse has been happening, they've had agents out there trying to convert people to Christianity or fucking hell isms, I guess. And then whoever, and like, it's a big game for them. And whoever wins, like, gets all the souls of Earth. And so, yeah, and Ben is, I guess, like, a key to that in some way, because the angels put, like, a protective spell over him that make him, like, impervious to every single demon attack. But yeah, so, anyway. Then we cut back to the giant concert that Bram was putting on for his campaign for the Antichrist, where he's come back as a ghost. Yep. And so, Ben's girlfriend, who's there, is high off her ass. The demon buddy they had there is just fine. And another friend of theirs with a giant afro got half his face burnt off. So that all these people, they like huddle into this guy's van and drive to Las Vegas through a magical portal where they fight demons and angels and win.
It seems like there would have to be something to give them an edge, because that seems like an unlikely victory.
Yeah, it's they don't actually win in terms of like an actual battle. I think they like Armageddon and everything is still happening. It's just not. It's just like they just don't die. Then it's kind of some. It's some kind of like. They outsmart them, I guess, is what I'm saying. They tell Penn and Teller that, you know, the angels were like cheating at the game or something. And so they're like, hey, you let us go, and everything's cool. We won't do anything else. Like, we'll Bram pulls them, came to see for the Antichrist, and everything will be fine. It's like, oh, okay. And then Teller, who in this world has a story reason for why he can't talk, talks, and then an angel melts. You see, his demon power is, if anyone hears his voice, their face will melt off.
Huh.
Yeah. Which is a nice little touch.
Yeah, I enjoy that.
See, anyway, Bram and Ben is over, and it was great. I really loved it. It was a really bizarre take on heaven and hell, and like religion as a whole, without actually, you know, demonizing or glorifying any given religion. You know, it actually was very inclusive, saying, hey, every religion is kind of right. You know, when you die, no matter what you believe, you will then go to whatever you believe will happen to you. You know, it's you know, like, there is heaven and hell that does exist, but then so does everything else. Which is really awesome. I really love it where, when there's, like, a huge, like, shared continuity universe with religion, I guess. Where religion...
Yeah, it is an interesting concept to make them all right, and they found a good way to pull that off.
Yeah. Yeah, it's never, like, one is more right than the other. It's just, hey, all these places exist. Whatever you believe in, that's where you go. Boo! And it was really nice. Like, so many other times we see, like, religions, either, like, one religion is depicted as, like, evil or something, or other religions are depicted as, like, the great, like, all-powerful thing, like, this is the one true faith. And this one is, yeah, they're all kind of right, I guess. Pick whatever one you want. I don't fucking care.
I realize, though, while you were talking about this comic, that, you know, we pick out Scientology, but it's not that much more ridiculous than other religions.
Yeah, I guess it's like for us it's a bit more ridiculous because it's only like 50 years old. And I guess because it's the new one, we can make fun of it a lot.
Yeah,
like Mormonism. Fucking Mormons, man.
Mormons are catching more of a break now because of Scientology.
Yeah, but seriously, watch any of the South Park episodes about Mormons.
About any religion. What they do is excellent. They satirize it while telling you what they actually believe.
Yeah, they satirize it by they also satirize it by telling you exactly what they believe.
Yeah, they just tell you what the religion is.
Like in the
tell it to you in such a way that it's hilarious.
Like in the Scientology episode. Like, whenever they were showing, like, the Scientology backstory stuff, they had, like, a little thing along the bottom of the screen saying, this is what Scientologists actually believe in. While showing, like, the most retarded thing of evil Lord Zemu, like, froze a bunch of ancient alien people, then dropped their bodies into volcanoes from spaceship ship, like, 747s, then nuked volcanoes, that then caused their souls to escape and go into human bodies, causing them to, you know, feel every evil emotion because of body thetans. And then getting when you shampoo your hair. Religion's stupid. Like, I'm just going to say it. Every religion's kind of stupid.
Yeah. Apparently, Star Child's going to make a religion centered around me now.
Church of
I hope he's successful. I would love that.
I wouldn't mind being a deity.
I would do some fun things with my power.
Yeah, I just kind of hang out, you know, constantly kick Michael Bay in the balls. That'd be it. That'd be my entire existence. Just like 5 p.m. every day, just teleport over Michael Bay's place, kick him in the nuts. He can't do anything. I'm a god.
Anyone in my religion must meet at a central location once per week and simply stare blankly at a tree.
You also have to wear fedoras at all times. With a minimum of 7 buttons on it. So yeah, anyway. This is what we're reading. On to news? On to news.
On to news.
So, first up, at a press event last week in honor of comic book writer Grant Morrison, it was announced that Morrison and artist Yannick Paquette will be making Wonder Woman Earth 1. So Earth 1, for those who don't know, is, I guess, DC's stab at making a kind of Ultimate Universe equivalent type thing, where it takes like the classic characters who have well-established origin stories and stuff, and rework their origin stories in certain ways. Like, I read Batman Earth 1. And with that one, like, when Batman first started, like, out, he was shit at everything he did. Alfred was, like, a member of the British Secret Service who was, like, awesome at everything. What's his face? Bullock. Harvey Bullock, I believe. Like, Bullock, the cop, Gordon's partner, the fat one, who's always drinking. When he first shows up, he's like a Hollywood cop who was only on a cop on TV, but then became an actual cop and then started drinking heavily because of Gotham. And it was really good. And now they're going to be doing, Grant Morrison, one of my favorite writers ever, and Yannick Paquette, a really fantastic artist, are going to be taking their own stab at Wonder Woman. So far, one image has been released about the comic, and it's of Wonder Woman strangling Hercules to death and then breaking her chains. So, you know, it's going to be one of those kind of stories.
Hooray for strangling Hercules.
Yeah. Actually, fun fact, in Wonder Woman's original origin story, the Amazons were sex slaves of Hercules. Like their giant bracelet things, these deflect bullets, those were actually the shackles that Hercules used to chain them to walls. So, hey. Have that in your head now. Just Wonder Woman was a sex... Wonder Woman's mom was a sex slave. So, anyway. Okay, so this could be happening. We don't know exactly when it'll be coming out. Or exactly, or you know, any like specific details. But back in March, in an interview with Entertainment Weekly, Morrison was asked like if he was excited to put his own spin on the character, and he said, quote, "This is some of the most fun I've had in a long time, but it's a completely different type of comic book. Usually I don't do masses of research, but for Wonder Woman, I've actually been working my way through the entire history of feminism." I want this to be fucking serious, you know? I didn't put that in there. He actually said fucking serious. "I want this to be really, really good, to reflect not only what women think, but what men think of women. I'm trying to do something really different from what's been done with the character before. That one's been amazing fun, but it's nothing like anything I've ever done before." See, I cannot fucking wait.
Should be good. Should be awesome.
It'll be awesome. So moving on to our next piece of news. Michael Bay. Yeah, I know we talk
about,
like...
I'm running out of rage for Michael Bay. I can't even, like...
Yeah, I know we've been talking a lot about the Ninja Turtles movie on here, and for those who don't know, Ninja Turtles, originally a comic book, so that's why we keep mentioning it on here. So anyway, first up, Prison Break star William Fichtner has joined the cast of the reboot. We're not entirely sure who he's playing yet, but according to Deadline, he is, quote, "a lead with iconic stature in the Turtles mythology." Based on that, my best guesses would be either Shredder, Krang, or Baxter Stockman. Because, you know, I don't see him playing Casey Jones. This dude's like 40.
Dead man, what about any of the Ninja Turtles casting so far has you thinking that they would cast a good Casey Jones?
I don't know.
Voice-wise, they should get whoever played the Scout in Team Fortress 2.
Just Casey Jones is also just like a mo-capped guy in a suit.
Well, I don't know what the guy who voice-acted the Scout looks like. He might look good for the role.
Probably like some fat guy from Boston. Is that just Movie Bob? Yeah, anyway. My best guesses are either of those three roles, because those are the only three guys I can think of who were like lead, or like I could have like any kind of iconic stature within Turtles mythos. But no. Well, I don't see plays like Bebop or Rocksteady. That'd be funny. But anyway, also according to Comic Book Movie, SNL actress Abby Elliott will be joining the movie. While no one is entirely sure of what her role is yet, a lot of people are thinking that she'll be playing Irma Langenstein, April O'Neil's friend from the 80s cartoon. She's the one who had like the oversized sweater with a skirt on and the glasses and her hair always up in a ponytail on the top of her head. Which, you know.
Totally okay. Necessary character.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, speaking of this movie, have you seen the images that were released of like behind the scenes of like the actors who were playing the turtles in the giant mocap suits?
No.
It looks hilarious. Just these skinny, just a lot of these skinny, lanky dudes with just like this weird looking like mesh stuff all over their bodies with giant turtle shells on their backs and cameras pointing at their faces. It's fucking hilarious. So, moving on to next week's news. So, what's new in the New 52 is still happening. And we've gotten some more characters who are going to be coming to the end of the series. So, our first character is someone who's already appeared in the... Sorry, someone who's appeared in the universe. She is the Nightmare Nurse. She's a magical nurse.
Huh.
Yeah. She's like a punk goth Lolita nurse. But anyway, moving on to the character. This is a character from Jason Todd's past who will be appearing in the New 52. He is Bronze Tiger. So, previously, in the New 52, from what pre-52, from what I understand, Bronze Tiger was a dude with a tiger head, like a tiger mask on his head, and he was like an excellent martial artist. He was actually able to go toe to toe with Batman in like pure martial arts. Yeah, this new Bronze Tiger is a tiger who walks like a man.
Okay, that's a bit of a change.
Just a bit. So our next character, who is part of the League of Assassins, is Cheshire. Or Cheshire, whoever you want to pronounce that. I believe it's pronounced Cheshire, but I like Cheshire. Yeah, Cheshire, for those who don't know, is a member of the League of Assassins, and also the mother of her and Arsenal's daughter, Leanne. So Arsenal, a.k.a. Roy Harper, who, in the New 52, is currently running around with a red hood wearing a stupid trucker cap. See, I'm actually kind of excited about this because I haven't read a lot of pre-52 stuff with these characters, but I've watched a lot of videos about those things, and I would like to see the return of Leanne, because in pre-52, Leanne died when she was 5. Because her house blew up.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah, and at the time when this was happening, Roy, her father, lost his arm. You know, I gotta rip the fuck off. Anyway, then finally, with the terms of new characters, a new villain for Catwoman will be introduced. He is Dr. Phosphorus. Basically a walking nuke.
Gotta stop giving your villains doctorates.
Yeah, man. What would you rather have? A genius villain or a dumbass villain? Yeah.
Dumbass ones can be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, so moving on to the next piece of news. Batgirl has been confirmed as the second DLC character for Injustice Gods Among Us.
Yay, more bats.
Yeah, who doesn't love the bats? I want all of the bats. Yeah, moving on from the bats. In the August solicitations, DC has announced that there will be 4 more canceled titles. So first up is Demon Knights, which will be ending with issue 23. Then Dial H, which will be ending with issue 15, which I am fucking pissed about.
Yeah, that series, from what you told me, seems like it has potential.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like even the cover for this is really cool. There's like multiple dudes fighting each other, and there's like a Wonder Woman who has like Saturn's rings around her head, and a guy who has those fucking propeller seed things for a face, and a guy coming out of a window, and a fucking water tower. All fighting. It's awesome. But that's gonna be ending with issue 15. Also ending at issue 23 is Legion of Superheroes. And finally, with issue 8, the Threshold is ending. Which, yeah, okay. That series is not very good.
I didn't much like Legion of Superheroes, but that's mostly because I was lost while watching it. reading it.
Yeah. Yeah, Threshold, the only good thing with that was Larfleet stories, and that is being spun off into its own book. Which actually, ooh, Larfleet. We found out who stole his stuff. He did. His guardian, because he had a guardian of the universe, actually like implanted post-atomic suggestions in his head that when she died, he would create a construct of her inside his ring and then steal all his own stuff and destroy it. So Larfleet destroyed his own stuff.
Huh.
It was awesome. It was so good. So yeah, then moving on to our final piece of news. It's going to be a short shorter this week. Boom Studios have announced that they're going to be bringing back RoboCop with RoboCop The Last Stand, which is an adaptation of the Frank Miller screenplay for RoboCop 3.
Well, it's got to be better than the reboot, right?
Yeah, at least this guy fucking looks like RoboCop. And not, you know, a Cylon. So anyway, VP of Publishing and Marketing at Boom, Philip Sablik, told Newsarama, quote, RoboCop's long history in comics is an indicator of how beloved the franchise is among comic book fans. Internally at Boom, we're all big fans of the original film, as well as the various comic books that have come out from Dark Horse, Avatar, and Dynamite over the years. So when the opportunity came up to work with MGM on building the next stage of RoboCop story in comics, we felt we could add something meaningful to it. So yeah, this is going to be a adaptation of the original screenplay for RoboCop 3 written by Frank Miller. It was adapted into a comic book by Stephen Grant. It'll be illustrated by Korkut Öztekin. Ostekin, or however the fuck you pronounce that name. There's an umlaut in it. Well, yeah, so, Grant apparently has worked with RoboCop before. He adapted Miller's screenplay for RoboCop 2 into a miniseries for Avatar Press. And now he's going to be working for Boom to do this one. So Sablik continued on by saying, as huge Miller fans, when we realized we had the chance to publish a Frank Miller project, we leapt at the chance. Our relationship with Stephen Grant really made the project feel like a natural fit. Stephen wrote and created Two Guns, the series that our first feature film was based on, which will be out in August, as well, so the timing couldn't be more ideal. So I guess all of this is a marketing push, is what it sounds like.
Yeah?
Yeah. And so this will be coming out before the remake. Or the reboot thing that be happening in 2014.
Whatever
which
it is. Remake, reboot, whatever you want to call it.
Reshit. But yeah, that's... So that's going to do it for the news. Fuck, a short show this week. We barely broke an hour.
Yeah, that's happened sometimes.
Yeah. So anyone out there, if you're interested in being on a comic book podcast, please email me, deadman@deathstoreprod.com. I'm not joking, please email me. We can only have two. We only have the two of us on here for so long. So yeah. Anyway, thank you all for joining us. As always, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us at DeathStoreProds. I am at DeadMan_DDProds. We have at Bobbywan. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/DeathStoreProds. Subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/DeathStoreProds. Vids for myself and youtube.com/Bobbywan for Bobbywan. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a review. Let us know what we want to see more of us, etc. We are also on Stitcher now, so download the app and check us out on there. And we are on DeviantArt. So please go to destoprods.deviantart.com. Check out cosplay stuff. Anime North is happening next week, so we'll probably be getting a lot of them next week. And the week after.
There'll be editing times, too. So stuff will be getting fairly steadily posted after that. But...
Yeah, so yeah, just check it out There's a link in the description. Well, like at the bottom of this page. And so yeah, this week on the website, we're going to be having the Movies Podcast this Friday, as well as a commentary track for the Friday the 13th remake as part of Platinum Dunes Month. Then on Sunday, we're going to be having the Anything Cast live at 5 p.m. Eastern. Please join us on allgames.com/chat. We'd love to hear from you guys and hear about what you think we're doing with the site and everything. Then we're going to be having games next Tuesday, anime next Thursday, as well as the Anime Club. Actually, this week, we're going to be having an Anime Club. We're taking a look at episodes 5 and 6 of Angel Beats. Next week, we're taking a look at episodes 7 and 8. And then that Friday, next Friday, we're going to be taking a look at the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake as part of Platinum Dunes Month. And yeah, we'll also come back to the site every day for news, possibly reviews, and gameplay videos for stuff. But until all that stuff, I'm the Dead Man.
I'm Bobby Wong.
See you next time.